Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's time for a training camp report.
Training camp coverage powered by Classic Ford and Classic Chevy and Minter.
Ladies and gentlemen, we found our franchise quarterback. We are moving on with Shedeur Sanders. Ladies and gentlemen, gold is going to fall from the ceilings. Away we go. Get measured for your rings.
Training camp coverage powered by Genesee Brewing Company and Window Nation.
I'm pretty excited. I don't want to go that far, but you know I'm pretty excited here. I just didn't believe he's going to play that well.
So you
had no idea
you did what I recommended, what I suggested. It sounded like you had very low expectations.
No, I had
for this.
I had low expectations to the point of nerves because I go, if he sucks tonight, then Monday morning's going to be a beaten. And hey, man, like, let's be honest. It's hard for me to be critical of Andrew and Kevin. And I've admitted this many, many times on this show for the new listeners who are clicking in from across the country that are Shedeur fans. They've been here 6 years. I like them both personally. They're both very good men. Okay? I understand. You can say whatever you want about the decisions they made in drafting or whatever. I like the guys. It's hard to be critical, to be nasty with guys you like. And I thought, I'm going to have to come in on Monday, and I'm going to have to look at this as a referendum to a degree on Kevin about this preseason and go, what are we doing with these four guys? And now you have put my trust of you in tremendous question about how you're dealing with any of this. Because he had not had first team reps, made a big deal about that. He had not had really a bunch of reps, even in a team setting and in team when they went team. I was really worried about that. And he goes out there and he conducts himself correctly. He goes out there and conducts himself like you would hope for a first round guy.
Yeah, you didn't see any of the mistakes we were worried about seeing, where it's snap issues, it's getting guys lined up. Like, it looked like an organized, you know, and I'll stop short of saying well-oiled machine, because it, again, is a preseason game.
Pre-snap penalties and things like that. Yeah,
you did have some. But overall, I do think he clearly exceeded the expectations. And boy, Kevin, what did you think? Because we had a big debate at the end of the week on just how conservative the offense should be, just how much, you know, we're going to see from. We even did an over-under, right, on the amount of throws. We all went around the room on how many attempts that he would end up getting. What did you think of all of that, how it actually played out?
You know, you and I made a big deal of the attempts, the yards per. I mean, 23 attempts in three quarters of play, that's very nice. That lets me know that there's definitely way more pages of the playbook that we can explore. And let me say this. It's not where he's like Shedeur became a robot for Kevin. You definitely saw like, oh yeah, this guy definitely has talent. He's definitely shouldn't have been a fifth round pick. He has talent that usual fifth round picks, 99 out of 100, or probably 9,000 or 899 or whatever out of 900 fifth round picks do not have. He definitely has more talent than that. But you could see that, okay, there's something that's shared. There's something they can work on. They've definitely found themselves a common ground within the offense to work with. But this is against mostly second-teamers. Carolina, they pulled their first team very quickly. It's against mostly second-teamers, and it's mostly a base defense. So I calm myself down a little bit. But how could I not be even a little bit excited about this guy falling to us in the fifth round, getting this chance to start, being so excited over it? I mean, it's okay. It's okay to be excited. I know we've been lied to, it feels like, for so many years, the last 25 years of Browns football. It's okay to be excited and think, maybe there is a chance. Maybe there is a chance the kids got it. Because I enjoyed myself thoroughly on Friday night.
Now, do you think, because we were wondering last week, is he now a fifth-round pick? Do we have to call him a fifth-round pick? Are we? Now you just said, well, he clearly played better than what a fifth-round pick is.
Clearly.
But if he plays poorly next week, are we going to go back to saying he's a fifth? Like, I want to make sure, like, we're talking about how real this is.
More is expected of him now. More is expected of him now. How much more? That's in the eye of the beholder. That's in the eye of the fan. 216-474-0092. I got Gardo's coming up in 5 minutes. Let me get to Alvin in Cleveland. Alvin, you're first up on the fan.
Alf. Hey, how you doing? Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We're doing well, Alvin. Go right on ahead.
Hey, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I've been a Browns fan since I was 5 years old. I'm 47 years old right now. And at the end of the day, I done been through all the regimes and everything. It's just, I got faith in Shador. You know, I've been watching him since college or whatever the case may be. I just really don't have too much faith in the coaching staff, man, because I feel that, truthfully speaking, Dylan Gabriel is really Kevin Stefanski's guy. You know, Shador, he did what he's supposed to do. He's a real humble guy, you know, and I think, you know, if given more opportunities, we could see a significant change in our team. Like, that's just what it is, because as the game progressed, you can tell he got more and more and more comfortable.
Yes.
He settled down.
Yes.
He was, you know, they keep on saying that his mechanics, he was shuffling his feet. He was keeping his feet moving. He was chopping his feet. He was sliding in the pocket. He kept his eyes downfield every play that was called for a passing play, he was straight downfield. Never took his eyes downfield. Led his receivers to where only they can get the ball. So, and he only did this with the second and third team. You know what I'm saying? But that's good because that's who he's been getting the reps with. So I really didn't expect nothing less because that's who he's been working with. But if he can do that with the second and third team, just think what he can do with the first team, you know, and he got a good line. He didn't have a line in Colorado, and he still put up numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So with time and a little bit more work, and he's very humble. He was hard on himself. I believe he played a good game. He believes he did. But I mean that's a player. That's a competitive player. You know, and I really think he deserves more opportunity.
Alvin, thank you very much for the call. I do as well. I feel that way as well. You did just hit on something there with Dylan Gabriel. I actually hope Dylan Gabriel is healthy by the end of this preseason. Because I want a chance to see it. Because I got to confirm or disconfirm whatever suspicion I have in Dylan Gabriel. So I want him desperately to be healthy at some point. Because if he goes out there and he's really, really good, okay, we have to have ourselves a conversation. If he goes out there and he struggles as much as Daryl and Zach, and a lot of people are going to say that he's been struggling throughout this preseason, then if he's still ahead of Shador Sanders some way, somehow, people are going to lose their minds. And I've got to question the common sense of it. So we are just walking through the woods. We are not out of the woods on this situation whatsoever.
It's also funny, the caller twice mentioned how humble Shador has been. And we have talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And his detractors, like, are they getting a different feed of him? Or are they, like, somebody tweeted the ball boy thing when he got into it with a ball boy on the subway, I think so did Baker Mayfield when he was at Oklahoma.
Baker Mayfield shook his garbage at a whole sideline.
Yeah, so, obviously, you know.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah.
But like his detractors think he is the most egotistical player ever in the history of football because of his brand.
Well, I need to have some
ego. Developing the brand that he did and all the TV stuff and the production stuff, all that stuff in college. Like, yeah, he was a brand. But none of that, you know, it's so funny to me. Once he's been here, ever since he's been here, I haven't seen any evidence of a dude that has been anything but humble.
It can't all be gee golly shucks. Like, there has to be somewhat of a swordsman in there that is going to lead your football team down the field when you need him. It can't all just be, oh, I'm just happy to be. Like, there has to be something in there. I just don't think he's nearly as arrogant as what some make it out to be. Plus, it is a different generation. Yeah, when we go over at 8 o'clock, we will talk about the entrance at 8 o'clock. When we go over that, it's a different generation. It's a generation that I'm not a part of. And to explain it a little bit differently, just to give you a preview, it was a little bit eye-opening, but then it's going, well, his teammate's standing right there with him. And people, you saw what the internet did. You saw what the outsiders did. People who wouldn't know what Tony Brown looks like because they don't know who a guy in the secondary for the Cleveland Browns is, they lined up to go after him for that. Lined up one after another. We had a couple guys in Pittsburgh. They jumped back in line to do it. Doubling, tripling down, whatever they could. And you're looking at it going, man, they really want to go after him. They really do. And some of that, that's years. That goes back to his dad. There's definitely generations that didn't like his dad. And because of who his dad is, they ain't going to like him. Jeff in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing well, Jeff. Go ahead.
Long-time listener, first-time caller, and you guys are my favorite show on the channel.
Thank you, Jeff.
Wanted to say Shadur should be number two at the very least, and I have some reasons why.
Go ahead.
Joe Flacco, great guy, led us to the promised land, even though the picks stopped the journey. He's 40, and he kind of regressed last season, and we see what he can do. He kind of is this along the lines of Jameis Winston, kind of. Kenny Pickett had one multi-TD game out of 25. He's had a shot. I don't think he's going to do anything. He's got very small hands. And then we go to a very small period, and that's Dylan Gabriel. He's in batted down left the line. He's throwing picks. He looks unsure himself. Shadur looked like he knew what he was doing, and I hope the coaching staff doesn't blow this. My only worry is Kevin is about as close as you can get to the male version of Karen, and that's all I've got.
Jeff, thank you very much for the call. I would put him in number two.
What does that mean?
I think he's trying to call him a killjoy. Did you want me to leave him on and have him explain it to you?
No.
Oh, okay. 216-474-0092. Will in North Carolina. He's listening on the free Odyssey app. Hello, Will.
Hey, guys. So I was at the game Friday night. I came into this as a Shadur fan. My opinion of him has not changed, but my opinion of the coaches and the process has drastically changed. Angela, I got on the hype, and I was like, man, they're sabotaging him. Things don't look right. Why are they doing this? But I watched Friday night, and Shadur was not just leading the team. He was leading a group of guys that were looking for their opportunity. They were looking for their chance. And so for the past, however many weeks that they've been practicing, he's been leading the group that was on the field, the twos and threes. And he made them look good. His throws made the receivers look good. His actions and everything made the line look good. And so everybody's saying he didn't get all these opportunities with the ones. If he had only practiced with the ones, and he had been out there leading them the whole time, he wouldn't have formed a bond with the people that helped make him look good Friday night. So maybe that's all part of the plan, that the coaches have all this going on in the background, and they don't tell us everything, and rightfully so. They don't have to. So, and Shadur can't come out and say, y'all, look, chill. We got all this going on in the background that you don't know. So let's try and back down a little bit, because we're becoming our own worst enemies in this situation, and realize there's more to this than we realize. And I think they do want him to play well, to benefit, because it makes everybody look good in the end.
Yeah, well, I think you hit on something there, and thank you very much for the call, because you have Caden Davis and Luke Floria who are able to flourish in that game, because we've heard about Luke Floria throughout training camp. And then you see him make that catch in the preseason game. You're going, oh, this guy. And we're looking for wide receivers far and wide. This is a thin room as it is with just Jerry Jeudy, just Jamari Thresh. I mean, we're talking about Deontay Johnson making an impact on this football team.
Yeah.
Like, that's how thin your wide receiver room is. And you get a chance to see Caden Davis go make good catches and get thrown from a good quarterback. You're going, okay, maybe this guy can stick with our football team. So you're creating opportunities for others. Guardians a half game out of the wild card right now. Are they a wild card team by the end of the week? I'm going to the Guardians game on Friday. Will they be in the wild card in the American League by the time I go see the Gardos Friday?
Why not? Right? They're only a half game out.
If I'm a half game out and you're playing Miami, who's back, and I didn't even realize this, Miami's actually ahead of the Braves in the NL East.
Disastrous season for the Braves and their fans.
It's been terrible. Do we blame that on Andy Roth? Just pointing that out. Do we blame that on Andy? Owen?
I mean, yeah, we blame it on Andy.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Half game out of the wild card right now. I'm excited by Kyle Manzardo. Obviously, I think there's no doubt about it. Does Slade Ciccone, did it bother you at all yesterday? Does it concern you at all? I mean, everybody has a bad outing. Did it concern you at all yesterday?
I mean, that's what I filed it under. It's probably due. I mean, we've gotten some pretty damn good starting pitching now for a while. It's the one thing they've been able to hang their head on while they were trying to figure out, you know, who else could actually do something at the plate. He got shellacked yesterday. That one home run was just mauled to right field. But, you know, the fact that Manzardo stepped up, had a couple of home runs. You saw Kafis had his first career home run. You just, before it seemed hopeless offensively. Now, guys are kind of piecing some much better at bats. Like, the ball is being hit harder up and down the lineup by far than it was earlier in the year when they were just dreadful. So I do think there's a window here, and the schedule. Like, Owen was the one before the All-Star break to highlight the schedule. And we're like, yeah, but we can't hit. What does it matter what the schedule is? We can't hit. Well, I don't know if it's what the chicken or the egg when it comes to this, but they are hitting much better, and the schedule is totally wide open for them.
Well, when you find yourself exactly when you find yourself a few games under 500 and a 10 game losing streak at one point, and now you find yourself with your head above water, you're right there within the wild card. I know that they're only six back of the Central Division, but I said on Friday I'm not really expecting the Central Division. That's fine. I'd rather much more focus on the wild card there. And with these two opponents, I think by the end of the week you could get with a wild card, especially with the floundering Yankees in there. I think by Friday evening at that game, I think that they're a wild card team.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.